that you want. All you have to do, dial in toll-free. The number for you, 855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-3733. And you can join us on our website over at freetalklive.com. We give you the features there totally free, so enjoy those on us. Once again, freetalklive.com. Unlike a lot of those other talk show hosts want to charge you for their sites. They charge you $5, $6, $7, $8 a month. We do it for free. And you actually get to control the content. So there's no editor that decides what is and what is not important. There's no single editor that makes these decisions for what goes up on freetalklive.com. What you see there on the main page has been put there by listeners like you. You find something online that you think's interesting, you think other listeners will enjoy it, you submit it as show prep, and then others get to vote up or down whether or not they like or dislike, and you get to vote on things as well, and the most voted up makes it to the top of the website. So essentially, you are the editor of the freetalklive.com website content. Go and see for yourself, get interactive over at freetalklive.com. Joining me this evening,
it's Luther.
And it's Ian here. And so we're going to go to William in Texas to start things out here tonight. And then some stories about government schools and what's going on with those right now. William, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I was listening to your November 26th episode.
That would be Saturday night. Okay.
Yes, sir. And y'all were talking about smoking pot and your first experience.
Oh, I think that was Friday night. But yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, anyway, you had said that you didn't think or you had trouble believing that people that it took a while to get high the first time, weren't doing or were not doing it correctly or whatever.
That's always been a big suspicion, but so many people have said that they're certain that they did it right and it still didn't work for them. I mean, I believe what they're saying. It's just,
yeah, I see why you would say that. I mean, but it did happen to me. Like one of my friends, he was been a long time pot smoker, and I was like 20 before I ever tried it, and I was like inhaling it, big time and holding it in my lungs and all that, slowly exhaling it and stuff, and you'd see a big old cloud.
I just wonder, anyway, what's the biological reason for it? Like if holding cannabis smoke in your lungs and smoking it the proper way the first time doesn't get you the high experience, why? What is it about whatever biology you have that makes that happen?
I've heard that it was adrenaline, that your adrenaline kind of kicks in because you're doing something, I guess, naughty.
Something
in a way.
New?
Sure. And so that, you don't necessarily experience it the same way, but I don't know if that's true or not. That's just what I've heard.
Well, I mean, if you take a hit of LSD for the first time, you're going to have, unless it's fake, something's going to happen to you, which is why it's just very strange. Like, if your brain has cannabinoid receptors, which it does, so you're essentially built to receive THC, the active ingredient in marijuana. Your body is built for this. Your mind is. If that's the case, then you're suggesting, Luther, that the THC is just not as noticeable as this adrenaline or whatever?
Right. I think that you might feel the rush a little more. I don't even know if that's true or not. So.
On that note, because I didn't talk about that before, but on that note, like, you ever done that when you've been high as heck and then you end up, getting in some kind of situation where you have to be all serious, like you think the cops are there or whatever? And have you ever noticed how, like, it totally ruins your high? Like, if you've been drinking.
Yes.
And you can't get undrunk by a scare, but you can certainly get on high. Have you ever experienced that?
I don't
know.
I think it can bum you out, but I don't think it's going to take away the chemicals from your brain.
No, but you do sort of, like, clear up a bit, I guess, and you start thinking more.
You're on point. Sure,
yeah, sure. Sure.
That makes sense.
One factor there may be the fact that, the quality of the marijuana. That probably has, a big contributing factor.
Maybe, but if you've never smoked pot before, then any marijuana should have a fairly large effect. I mean, for instance, you go to jail or you stay away from pot or something for a long period of time, you come back to it, it doesn't take very much pot to get you high, whereas if you've been smoking a lot of it, you're going to build up a tolerance. And so somebody who's doing it for the first time should have no tolerance. I'd like to know if anybody's a biologist or something that can really explain this, because it's very confusing to me.
Well, I tell you, the first time I ever really noticed I was high, this was kind of a silly high, is I just had to quiet the imagination, and that was about it. And then later on, I did, a couple weeks later, I finally did start getting high. But beyond that, can I say one time about the highest I ever got?
Okay.
I was in Colorado snow skiing on the mountains, and it was the last run of Keystone, and it was the last run of the day, and I pulled off the side there and smoked whatever amount there at the top of the mountain. And when I was done, I was freaking out because I was wondering, you know, I was experienced with marijuana by then, and I was wondering, I had never done that and snow skied, and kind of scared me. But anyway, I ended up having one of the best runs of the day, and probably the highest I ever got in my life. I was laughing, and
you're all by yourself, huh?
Well, no, I had my family with me and stuff, but they weren't. I was the only one partaking. And,
I see. Did they know that you were partaking?
I think only my father did, but other people and my sister. I picked up back. My younger sister knew, and but nowadays, I can't hardly enjoy it. I can't. It makes me paranoid and.
Oh, man, that's so good. No, sorry to hear about that. William, thanks for the call and the story and the thoughts tonight. I appreciate hearing from you at 855-450-FREE. Luther, just bring you up to speed. He's referring to a show last week where I think it was Friday night. We talked about the first time you got high and, you know, what that story was for each individual. And that he kind of brings up another interesting point. What's the highest you've ever gotten on cannabis?
Well, I'd tell you all about it, but I don't remember.
I can remember one time in particular where it was particularly notable how high I was, because normally I was probably maybe 23 or something like that. So on the younger side of my 20s. And I'd certainly been an experienced pot smoker by this time. I'd been smoking since I was 16 and was a regular user of the product, very comfortable with it. And there was a time where I was very uncomfortable, and that's why it stands out for me. And it wasn't because necessarily I'll just tell you the story. So I went to church camp, and now I'd been out as an atheist. I'm no longer an atheist, but at this time I was.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been out as an atheist for, six, probably 9 years or something like that. And, 7 years, whatever. So I was out as an atheist, and I went to church camp anyway with my parents, because I've been going to this camp for years.
Right.
So it's a camp in Florida, and I went since I was two with my parents. When I was a younger kid, I went alone for, like a week during the summertime, just kind of
right. So it was sort of part of, even though you weren't a Christian anymore, it was just a community that you were associated
with. It's a beautiful place to go. You know, it's just a nice place to spend some alone time, go out in the woods, and, do community things or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I was at this church camp, and I had brought along some cannabis pills. Now, the way that I made these pills was I basically took a coffee grinder, ground up some pot, put it into little gel capsules. You can go down to any health food store and get these empty gel capsules, and put the pot in there. I don't remember how many I took, but I took enough to get really, really high, and I wasn't expecting to get as high as I'd gotten, because sometimes when you eat marijuana versus smoking it, when you're smoking it, it affects you very quickly, and so you know how high you are, and you can put the joint down or whatever, put the bowl down and be done with it.
Right.
Whereas once you eat the pills, you're in for the ride.
Yeah.
There's no turning back.
Right. I mean, it's a different kind of high, too. It's more of a body high.
Yeah, absolutely. So this I was expecting it to take a little while, too, because my experience with eating pot at this time was that it could take up to, 3 hours or 4 hours, depending on, your metabolism and what you've been eating. And so I wasn't very experienced with eating pot either. And so I'd eaten these pills. I probably was only, 3 or 4 or something like that. And I went to the dinner thing, and they had these dinners with a bunch of people in the same room, kind of this community dinner with multiple tables with a whole bunch of people around them. And I had taken the pills just before dinner. So the dinner lasts about 45 minutes to an hour. And about 45 minutes into dinner, toward the end of dinner, I noticed I was coming up real fast. And I hadn't... I didn't expect that at all. And so I kind of left the area. And I'll continue, because I had this encounter that really freaked me out. I'll tell you more about it in a moment here. So what's the highest you've ever been is the unpot. Unpot. Is the topic here, at least in the moment. You can also bring up anything you want. 855-453. Coming up, heroic school resource officer takes down a 5-year-old boy. We'll tell you about it. It's Free Talk Live.
It's the Cosby Radio Minute, with thoughts and observations from America's favorite comedian, actor, and author, Bill Cosby.
My mother and father come over to the house quite often. My father came over to the house, went into his pocket, and pulled out a handful of money and began to pass it out to the children. You know, he made the announcement. Now let's see if Granddad has any money for these wonderful children. Well, five children came from everywhere. My father began to pass this money out. And I thought, this is the same man who, when I was his child, I would ask him for 50 cents. This man would tell me his life story. I asked my father to give me a dollar for the school picnic. He told me how he killed a grizzly bear with his loose-leaf notebook.
For the latest info on how to connect with Bill Cosby, please visit BillCosby.com. Bill Cosby, America's most beloved funny man, is back with his first humor book since the best-selling Cosbyology. In I Didn't Ask to Be Born, But I'm Glad I Was, his hilarious new collection of observations, Bill Cosby brings us more of his wonderful and wacky insights into the human condition that are sure to become classics. I Didn't Ask to Be Born, But I'm Glad I Was, the newest book from the legendary Bill Cosby, is available wherever books are sold.
My name is Jacob Hornberger. I'm president of the Future of Freedom Foundation, which Congressman Ron Paul awarded for having an outstanding freedom website. Write us at fff@fff.org, and we'll send you a free 3-month subscription to our monthly journal of libertarian essays and our booklet, Economic Liberty in the Constitution, which George Mason University economics professor Walter Williams praised in a recent column. That's fff@fff.org.
Attention GCN listeners, do you have a Patriot on your Christmas list that's nearly impossible to shop for? How would you like the ability to get top-of-the-line, hard-to-find gifts at equally hard-to-beat prices without leaving the comfort of your home? Why fight the crowd? Simply log on to your computer for great gifts and deals for the off-the-grid enthusiast in your family. At offthegridchristmas.com, you'll find great prices on the most popular off-the-grid gifts available today. At offthegridchristmas.com, you'll find unbeatable deals on emergency backup power, herb and vegetable seeds, dehydrated foods, emergency evacuation packs, solar ovens, gun safes, and a host of truly unique stocking stuffers. In these hard times, why not give a gift that really counts? A gift that could truly make a difference. Go to offthegridchristmas.com and our Christmas video highlighting perfect gifts for the off-the-grid fans in your family. Unbeatable gear, unbeatable prices, no more searching. Offthegridchristmas.com. That's offthegridchristmas.com.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Talk Live. You can bring up anything that you want. The toll-free number for you is 855-450-FREE, 1-855-450-3733. Here tonight is Ian.
And Luther.
And we invite you to the website at freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features there. We've got news updates, so we'll keep you in the loop whenever there's something that you need to know about Free Talk Live. Just go to news.freetalklive.com. You can get signed up for our emailed updates or follow us on Twitter or Facebook, whatever your preference. It's all free. news.freetalklive.com. We'll continue with your calls here in a moment. But let's finish up with a story here. You've got one too, Luther.
Sure, but I'll let you finish.
Right, we had a gentleman call in the beginning of the show who wanted to share with us his most high he's ever been on cannabis, kind of in relation to a discussion we had last week about first time smoking cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
So my story is I was at church camp, and I wasn't religious. I was an atheist at the time in my mid-20s. I'd eaten some pot, got higher than I expected, faster than I expected, and basically I left the dinner table. This is when I was coming up much faster than I was used to by eating pot.
Sure.
And so I'd finished my dinner, and I'd left, and I went into my room, and for some reason I had to leave my room. I wanted to leave and go outside. I just wanted to get out of where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I was leaving, I encounter this lady, nice old lady that, you know, I've known for years. Because, again, this is like a church retreat thing in the woods. Nice old lady that I've known for years. It's a Saturday night. And she stops me as I'm trying to just go outside. And, like, I think I just wanted to, like, go into my truck so I could be away from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And she encounters me and stops me and asks me if I would be willing to participate in reading, like, the benediction or something like that. Some sort of participation in reading a portion of the Sunday morning, you know, worship service that they have. So not only am I high as a kite, but I also have to deal with this difficult kind of moral question. Like, for me, because these people don't know I'm an atheist. My parents knew, but mm-hmm. the rest of them presumably don't know. And so I'm dealing with a situation where I was thrown into this and had to make a decision, and I'm reeling from being really stoned, and I'm thinking about this on the spot. Like, what do I do? Because on one hand, there's the issue of, okay, well, I'm an atheist, so I don't want to go and, you know, participate. I'm willing to come to the camp, and I'm willing to, you know, go and enjoy the camp, but to participate in the actual religious service didn't really float my boat as an atheist. So on one hand, do I say, yes, I'll help, and then essentially cross my own principles by doing that and kind of lying to people and being dishonest, I think. And that
right.
didn't feel right. But at the same time, I didn't want to disappoint this nice old lady that, you know, I'd essentially grown up around to some extent. And so my answer was basically, you know, maybe, I'm not sure, or something like that. And I took off, and I went and chilled out in my truck for a while until I came down. And then the next morning, I didn't want to deal with the situation of just having to, like, even be around to deal with the question of, like, because, again, I don't want to come out as an atheist and, like, you know, crap all over these people's experience and they're enjoying themselves in this camp. And what good would it do for me to say, well, no, I'm not going to do that because I'm an atheist.
Right.
Because otherwise there'd be no reason for me not to do it, because it's such a simple thing. You get up, you read this benediction, and that's it.
Sure.
So the only reason for me not to do it would be that I'm an atheist, right? Something against what you people are doing. And so I didn't want to have any of that conversation, so I basically got in my truck and I took off the next morning and I went home.
Wow.
just avoided it entirely. And all of that happened while I was high as a kite. So that was my highest experience that I can recall.
Sounds like you were pretty baked.
Yeah.
I guess mine was, it happened on April 20th one year, 420.
Nice.
My friends and I got together and decided, like, we just put out all our pipes and bongs and hookahs and rolling papers and blunts, and consumed it any way we could all day long. You know, we started at my friend's house. We were watching stoner movies all day, half-baked, The Big Lebowski.
How old were you at the time?
I might have been like 19.
Okay. I think I was doing things like that back then, too, and like now I get bored of it. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, yeah, we got so high and, like, just kept getting so high. Eventually, we were driving around listening to a Hulk Hogan Don't Do Drugs tape, you know, cassette tape.
Nice.
In his car. And we ended up on the beach passing a blunt around. And eventually, like, I just had to say no more, you
yeah.
know. Like, I want nothing to do with this.
Yeah, it grates on me, too, as well.
Oh, sure, sure. And, like, we went down to the pool and we were trying to have races, and, like, I could barely do a lap. I was, like, out of breath.
You'd been smoking all day, right?
Sure, sure, yeah.
So you're welcome to tell your stories as well. 855-450-FREE. We go to Aaron listening in Ohio. Aaron, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello there.
Hey, guys.
Aaron, what's on your mind?
Well, a couple of days ago, you were talking about this story about this school that principal who called the cops on some students because they were kissing in the hallway or something.
Oh, did we talk about that? Was that on the Sunday show or something, or was I on that show? I don't even remember.
I don't think you were on that show. I think that was with Mark.
That explains it then. Okay. So tell me a little bit about this. So there was like a police investigation, because I know I saw this in the news.
Well, when I was thinking about that story, it reminded me of a topic that I went, a thing that goes on in both public and private schools, although it seems to happen more in public schools. And it reminded me of how certain schools had banned such activities and how it caused a lot of problems. And it got me thinking about how when public schools ban certain things in general and how it can cause a lot of problems.
Okay.
Like, when I was in school, I remember the school would ban things like Game Boys and Pokemon cards because some kids would fight over them,
right,
or because they would get stolen by other kids, or because kids would play with them during class instead of doing their work, so they would ban these things.
Sure.
And it would cause a lot of problems because, and I always thought that was a wrong decision on the school because, number one, it's wrong to punish all the kids in the school for something that only a minority of kids did, because not all the kids were doing this, it was just a small number, so they wanted to punish all the kids for something a minority had done.
So when you say it causes a lot of problems, like what?
Well, kids would fight over Game Boys and Pokemon cards. They would other kids would steal them from other kids, or they would play with them instead of doing their classwork. So they thought, hey, if we ban them, we won't have to worry about this problem.
Sure.
Right. But I guess my question is, what problems came from the ban?
Oh, okay, sorry. Well, a lot of things number one, it didn't stop kids from bringing them into school. Kids would still bring them into school and fight
of course
over them. And what the teachers would do to try and combat that is they would try to increase the penalty for breaking the rules. Say, okay, well, if we catch you bringing these things into school, we're going to punish you more than what we normally did. I'm like, that doesn't solve the problem. That just makes it worse.
Yeah, it does. And of course, that is their only solution, is to, you know, use the kind of the violence of the state. And school is an early training ground for adults to be obedient to what they're told to do, to not have what they're not supposed to have, etc., to do what they've been told to. So, you know, it is frustrating, and it's part of the problem with government schools. There's no market response.
I went through this, and anyone else who's my age, I mean, there's just a short window when these were popular, but Pogs.
Pogs, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they worked like currency when you were a kid. You could trade them in lunch for other stuff. And
we did that with, there were like Sour Balls. Not Sour Balls. What do they call it? Tear Jerkers. They're gum.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really, really sour outsides to them. They had different Tear Jerkers that kids were selling one year, and it became a real issue with the administration. Thanks, Aaron, for the call. Appreciate it. At 855-453. What are some of the crazy things that were banned, or some of the things that were banned at your school as you were growing up? Free Talk Live.
In 2009, several international scientists concluded the WTC buildings were blown up by nanothermite. So what actually happened on 9/11? An experienced physicist with a PhD in applied physics at Caltech has published an online book about this disaster, National Swindle of the World Trade Center. This factual analysis includes 37 color photos in 7 chapters. Download it now for less than $13 at sealane.org. That's SEALANE.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Burglars love easy targets, like a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television, so from outside it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, comes with AC adapter, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and give one or more for Christmas. Now through Christmas, get free standard shipping on any quantity fake TV purchase. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. Faketv.com, the burglar deterrent.
Ready for cold and flu season? Now's the time to get ready and save during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Stock up on powerful, natural flu fighters like olive leaf extract, elderberry power, and grapefruit seed liquid. Don't forget your vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, on sale for only $9. And remember, HerbalHealer.com offers eFoods Global products, delicious, premium, storable foods that contain no MSG, no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. Click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com and try eFoods storable meals for free. Bookmark HerbalHealer.com, then experience live chat, correspondence courses, and sign up for our free newsletter. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Talk Live, and you can bring up anything you want. Dial in toll free, bring up whatever's on your mind. 855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-3733. And if you've ever been the victim of an injustice and decided to do nothing about it because attorneys are just too expensive, well, jurisdictionary.com is the course for people who don't have attorneys. It arms you with the information on how to use the court's rules. And until you know their rules, you might as well be fighting in the dark. It works for plaintiffs or defendants in civil or criminal matters or in state or federal courts. Costs less than an hour with any good attorney, and the 4-CD course is so easy the average 8th grader can learn it in a weekend. Go to jurisdictionary.com. You can grab some free tools like their legal dictionary, free videos, weekly tips and tactics, newsletters, and more, and then buy the course over at jurisdictionary.com. Use their pull-down menu when you check out. Let them know you heard it from Free Talk Live. Jurisdictionary.com. Julia is joining us. Good evening, Julia.
Hello.
It's always nice to have you here. We'll take your phone calls, of course, at 855-450-FREE. We have been talking about, well, somebody called in to talk about the highest they've ever been. We were talking about smoking cannabis. And then went to government schools where it was brought up about, public displays of affection being banned, things like Pogs or magic cards or Pokemon being banned. It's like nobody wants anybody to have any fun at the government school. Now, of course, if you actually had a school that was more open-minded, then maybe, for instance, it's the Sudbury School is what I've been talked to about. There's a couple of folks in the Keene area that went to a Sudbury school in Massachusetts. I think it was like the first one. And basically it's an unschooling school. So if you wanted to go to the Sudbury School and play a game of Magic the Gathering with somebody as part of your school day, you could do that. And nobody would say boo to you about it. It's really interesting. You know, you take the idea of unschooling, which is essentially allowing a young person to pursue their own interests in their own time, in their own way, in whatever way feels right to them.
As opposed to being molded on what the state thinks is right for them.
Right. You have to take this course, and this course, and this year, and next year you have to take these courses, and everybody has to take the same courses, except maybe you can have music versus art, or computers versus music or art.
They give you electives like you have some real choice in your curriculum.
Right, like you have some real choice picking a president or something like
that. Sure. Actually, in middle school, my first year, seventh grade for us, which I guess is junior high in Idaho. Anyway, we were forced to take what they called a required elective. So it wasn't, you didn't have a choice. Yeah. And it was what they called the wheel. And instead of taking a class for a semester, you would only take it for a quarter and then go on to, like, the next course. Mm-hmm. So it was, it was French and Spanish.
So you didn't get to choose French or Spanish? You had to take them both.
Yeah, you take them both.
The wheel.
Yeah, the wheel is what they called it because it would rotate.
Uh-huh.
So but it was that four classes.
So it was foreign language, so the French and Spanish. Then it was home ec cooking. And then it was computers and then art.
And this was all on the same wheel.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, for example, I took the French one first. It's just kind of where they stuck me.
Yeah.
And then you stayed with that class as you moved through the wheel. But, like, other people would have taken art first and then moved through the wheel. And then other people would have taken computers first and moved through the wheel.
So you end up taking the same classes just in a different order?
Yes.
So basically... You get to choose which order you take our required
classes. No, you didn't
even
get to choose which order you took it in.
Oh, really?
They stuck you in an order, and you were stuck with that order. So nothing about it was
choice. You got
choice.
To choose between wheel one and wheel two.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was it. There was, like, two wheels.
And wheel two was... I actually kind of wish I would have taken wheel two, because I had, like, a mechanics class, like
if
a robotics.
If only you knew where you could be today if you'd just taken wheel two.
Yeah, I'm sure my life would have been so different now.
Right? Because government school is so important to where you end up as an adult. Oh, wait, no. No, it's not.
Right. I was a failure at school.
In fact, many people failed at school. Bill Gates, didn't he drop out of college?
Yep.
I think he did.
Mm-hmm.
Dave from the Wendy's Dave guy, I don't think he ever completed high school.
Yeah. I think we learned that on Penn and Teller, right? They had a list of folks who never went to college.
I don't recall, but it sounds like they would say something like that on Penn and Teller's BS.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, these government schools with their, you know, one-size-fits-all curriculum, just forcing things down people's throats, look at other options for how kids could learn and how much more fun those classes or those educational curriculums could be. Because if you can make education, you can make going to school a fun thing that kids want to do,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to want to learn as well. And that's the idea behind the Sudbury School, is that when the child is ready, when the student is ready, the master will appear. In this case, when the child is ready, you know, they will be able to seek out what they want. Of course, in today's world, with the internet, it's even easier than ever.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
The information you're looking
I don't even
for.
See the point in going to college anymore. You know, if,
I agree, unless you need to be an engineer or a doctor or something.
I went to the school of Wikipedia, you know. And I've learned so much from it.
Yeah, Wikipedia is relatively, you know, you pretty much trust Wikipedia, although you always usually have, if you question something, you have to go and click on the source, and hopefully it has a source. If it doesn't, then it is
question.
They hate Wikipedia in college.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Because it makes things so much easier for kids, or what?
Because
they don't trust the source.
It's not accurate.
I see.
Yeah, it can't possibly be accurate. But Wikipedia articles will say in them, you know, like, the objectivity of this article is in question, you know, and that kind of stuff.
I have a story about why I think Wikipedia is pretty dang accurate. When we first moved up here, there was a Keen Wikipedia, and obviously the Keen Wikipedia was pretty small, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there
you mean their page on the Wikipedia?
No. They actually had a Keen Wikipedia,
okay.
And every day I would go in and change the government section to like the city of Keene should just abolish itself or something,
mm-hmm.
and within like an hour it was always changed back.
That's funny.
So like they were very
some
closely somebody
was in there.
Who loved Keene enough to follow a Wikipedia page about it was on top of that stuff. And
yep.
You know, there are people that like a variety of things that follow pages very closely. It's I don't know. Try to change something on a Wikipedia page and see how fast it gets changed back.
Well, from what I've seen, Wikipedia has come up with a pretty good system. Like, some wikis are better than others, right? So, for instance, the old Free Talk Live wiki, which has now been retired. But if there's a lot of people using it and there are enough people moderating it, then it can work out. But if it's just a few people coming in there from time to time, then one person can go in and make all kinds of crazy changes. And if nobody else is checking up on it, then those changes are going to stick. So it just all depends on the software and the setup. And obviously Wikipedia's got it together, and of course they should. They get all kinds of money. They're doing a fundraising drive right now, actually. And I've given them some money in the past. I mean, I've gotten use out of it, so I figure I'll send them a few bucks. So, 855-450-FREE is the toll-free number, but I find the Sudbury School to be one of the most interesting schools because it's unschooling at a school. And
mm-hmm.
when I was talking with these guys that went to the Sudbury School, they had come out of kind of the government school system and gone into the Sudbury School. So they were coming from that crap can government system and then going into this completely different realm where they control everything. And so he pointed out that what happens when somebody comes over from the government school is they still have that kind of hatred of learning that the government schools inculcate into you. They make you not want to learn. Just that's just the way government schools tend to do it.
Sure.
And so you kind of take that hatred of learning and you go into this open environment where you can do whatever you want to. And they said that usually what resulted from that was that, you know, some guy would go in, he'd just come in from the government school, and he'd, like, I don't want to learn anything, I'm just going to sit down and play video games. So, sit down, play video games, keep playing video games, play them as long as you want. Play the games as long as you want. Nobody's going to say anything to you about it. But what happens is, what they see around them is all these other kids doing these productive things, and, you know, creating art or, you know, doing research or whatever it is that they're doing, experiments, and their curiosity gets piqued. You know, they want to know what those other kids are doing and why they're not so interested in playing the video games. And so they start to ask questions and they start to talk to the other kids about, well, what are you doing? And then they get interested all of a sudden and they find their own path.
Hmm.
And so they give up on the video games after a certain amount of time. And there's a certain period where they just play video games nonstop and then they kind of come out of that.
Oh, it's interesting, yeah. Well, imagine if you had pursued that type of learning your entire life.
The open learning?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It'd be incredible. That's one of those things where you can't even imagine the person you'd be today if you hadn't been in a government school for 13 years or whatever.
Right.
855-450-FREE, the toll-free number. And, of course, if you're doing unschooling, you don't have to have a huge staff, so you don't need to have a big overhead. It doesn't have to be a very expensive thing. It's just if you're doing a school kind of based unschooling where people go to, you just have to have a place for them to go and maybe some adults around to lead them in the right direction if they need some suggestions. Or come up. It's Free Talk Live.
Becky, thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem.
Lyle, honey, it's time to go home.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that he keeps saying?
DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that?
Oh, this amazing site. Lyle logged on to DoubleMySpeed.com, got a free comprehensive diagnosis, and within minutes, he knew exactly what was slowing down our PC.
Wow.
Anyway, DoubleMySpeed.com removed dangerous spyware and a virus.
No kidding.
They cleaned our computer remotely and restored it to peak performance.
DoubleMySpeed.com. DoubleMySpeed.com.
We know, Lyle. He's so excited about DoubleMySpeed.com that he wanders the neighborhood to spread the word. But the only thing he can say is DoubleMySpeed.com at double speed.
Gee, I wonder if Don knows about DoubleMySpeed.com.
Oh, Lyle sent him an email.
Don, do you know about
DoubleMySpeed.com? DoubleMySpeed.com? DoubleMySpeed.com?
Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com and within minutes, find out what's slowing down your PC.
DoubleMySpeed.com?
Yes, it was a group email.
Get your free diagnosis today. DoubleMySpeed.com. Your PC, like new again. DoubleMySpeed.com.
In 2009, several international scientists concluded the WTC buildings were blown up by nanothermite. So what actually happened on 9/11? An experienced physicist with a PhD in applied physics at Caltech has published an online book about this disaster, National Swindle of the World Trade Center. This factual analysis includes 37 color photos in 7 chapters. Download it now for less than $13 at sealane.org. That's SEALANE.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Storable foods, check. Water filters, check. Gold and silver, check. Tactical gear, check. What's missing from your survival checklist? An essential that should not be taken for granted. Storable vitamins and nutritional supplements. Since many foods do not contain the essential micronutrients your body needs, you need Survival RX, the world's first ultra-long-term storable vitamins and nutritional supplements. How long? Survival RX products have a shelf life of up to 30 years, thanks to triple nitrogen flushing for guaranteed freshness. Go to SurvivalRx.com for our complete product list, including powdered milk and whey protein isolate. And remember, November is Nuclear Disaster Preparedness Month at SurvivalRx.com. With every order until November 30th, you will receive a free bottle of potassium iodate. Just enter coupon code RADIO. Go to SurvivalRx.com. That's Survival, the letter R, the letter X.com. Add SurvivalRx.com to your preparedness checklist today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Live, you can bring up what you want. All you have to do, dial in toll free, the number 855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-3733. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Do enjoy the features there. And if you like the show and want to help support Free Talk Live, it is the shopping season. And you probably have loved ones, friends, family members that you were looking to buy presents for. Well, you can do it. And you don't have to go to the store. You can just go to shop.freetalklive.com. There are links to Amazon there, different Amazons for different countries. Click into the right one for you, and then Free Talk Live gets a portion of the purchase price. So it's the same Amazon experience you're used to. You're just entering through the link on our site, which makes it so that we get credit for whatever you buy. So go and get your shopping done and help Free Talk Live at the same time over at shop.freetalklive.com. Again, that's shop.freetalklive.com. Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. Readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com are constantly provided the detailed, real news that lies between the lines of propaganda and the relationship we have with coercive governments. FreedomsPhoenix.com offers up-to-the-minute updates on the economy, technology, communications, and the rise of the police state. Go now to FreedomsPhoenix.com. Sign up for their daily dispatch. It's free, of course. That's FreedomsPhoenix.com. Let's go to the phones and the fun. You're on Free Talk Live on the Amp Lines. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Cooper from Colorado.
Hey, Cooper. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I just wanted to touch on college and the internet and just learning in general.
Okay.
Right now I'm going to college for music in Durango, Colorado, and there's a lot of stuff that you can only learn through the school, well, like having music teachers teach it to you. But I can't tell you how many times this year alone that I have gone on YouTube and learned a song strictly from YouTube that would have taken me days, hours to learn on sheet music or have someone teach me that I just learned in 10 minutes on YouTube. And
just by listening?
Wikipedia has been a big help. By listening, having, it's usually like they have tutorials a lot on YouTube. So like it's a guy playing it and explaining it how to do it. And
neat.
I'm pretty sure you can do this for pretty much any instrument with almost any song.
You know, Cooper, I have to disagree with something you said where you say that there are some things you can only learn through the college, because I am a almost completely self-taught musician, and I have played over 13 instruments in my life. So,
So you're wrong, Cooper.
So
what are you saying, Cooper, that is so useful about the college? Luther's saying it's a bunch of crap.
Right. Well, I mean, just like I get to play in like 10 different kinds of ensembles, play 10 different kinds of music, and you just can't do that on the street. Like, I don't think I've ever played with more than 10 people when I haven't been in college, but, you know, every day I play with 60 people who are all very good at music, and we all play very different things than what I've grown up with musically. So it's good way to diversify.
Okay, sure, so what you're saying then...
You can join a big...
So what I'm hearing you say, though, is that all college is essentially a big networking seminar for you. Like, basically, it's allowing you to connect with and spend time with other people of a similar interest. I mean, isn't there another way that could be organized in, you know, the real world where you didn't have to have college to do it? Couldn't there be some sort of, like, a music club where people come together to practice and to play?
Certainly, there could be. And I'm sure that exists other places, and I'm sure if I were still in New Hampshire, we could organize something, Luthor. But since I'm not in New Hampshire, I'm in Durango, Colorado, the only thing you can do is through the school.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. I mean, certainly colleges have monopolized certain things out there. All I'm saying is without this college system, that doesn't mean that there wouldn't be ways for similar things to happen at probably a much lower price. Like, imagine if you could just get together with other people that love music and teach each other and learn from one another without having to pay some crazy overhead to the college. Like, what are you paying for the privilege of being able to get together with all those other musicians?
Quite a lot. But I also pay for the privilege to play a lot of instruments. Like pretty much every day I play an instrument called a marimba, which is pretty much a keyboard that you hit with a stick.
Right.
And this instrument is several hundred thousand dollars, well,
right,
many thousands of dollars.
Yeah, that's an advantage.
There's no way I'd ever be able to play it.
That's an advantage I found about being in school music programs. Like, I got to learn bassoon. I would have never have been able to I can't buy my own bassoon now, you know, it's a lot of money, you know, they're expensive.
Well,
so.
Now there's something you've been talking about, Luther, this hackerspace idea,
mm-hmm.
where essentially you get a bunch of machines, expensive machines, machines that can kind of make machines and machines that can weld and other things, lathes, whatever.
Right, and people who know how to do all this stuff.
Right, so you get this hackerspace, these machines are pretty expensive, some of them, somebody invests in this hackerspace, they lay down whatever the capital is to get these machines in. They get the space, the actual physical warehouse space where you would go and use these machines. And then people like you, Luther, maybe don't have the capital to start your own machine shop.
Mm-hmm.
You could go in for, say, $75, $100 a month or something like that, and you could essentially rent the space and go in and actually utilize all those expensive machines. It'd be a very kind of it sounds like a very similar idea, except without the, you know, $20,000 a year price tag.
Right, so sort of a music... cooperative.
Yeah, co-op. Yeah, sure.
Sure.
I mean, that's possible. Yeah. It's just that right now the colleges have kind of monopolized that service.
Sure.
Right. And like in every other manner of getting the government out of our lives, it's just a matter of convincing people that there are other ways to do things.
Yep. Indeed.
I'm working on it.
Cooper, what else do you want to share? Anything else on your mind tonight?
No, that was it.
Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate hearing from you at 855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-3733. Hey, since we're talking about school, there's news out of the New York Daily News, nydailynews.com, about a young lady who has been ordered to write an apology letter to the governor. Why? Well, she tweeted something that they didn't like. According to the story here, a high schooler who found herself in hot water after writing a negative tweet about Kansas Governor Sam Brownback told the Associated Press on Sunday that she won't be apologizing. Emma Sullivan, a high school senior, tweeted, quote, "Just made mean comments at Governor Brownback and told him he sucked in person," unquote.
Oh, no.
After listening to the governor speak.
Well, I guess the truth does hurt.
She didn't actually make, according to the story, she didn't actually make any comments to him. But after his office received word of the tweet, they alerted Sullivan's high school. So her tweet somehow made its way up the chain to the governor's office. Like, they're paying attention. You can search for things with tweets, right? So you can put a little tag, hashtag in there, and then, like, Governor so-and-so, Governor Brownback, or Sam mm-hmm. Brownback. And so they're probably looking at all the things anybody's saying about Sam Brownback, and or someone tipped them off to this, one or the other, is my guess. So somehow they came across this young 17, 18-year-old girl's tweet, how she said something mean and nasty to the governor, and so they get in touch with her high school. She was summoned to the principal's office, who told her she must write a letter of apology due on Monday. Twitter tiff made national news after Sullivan discussed the matter with local Kansas City media last week. She told the Kansas City Star, "I don't regret sending the tweet. It was harmless. It's not like I was really fired up about anything he said." The governor's director of communications also seemed unfazed by the blowback to her office. She said, "That wasn't respectful.
In order to really have constructive dialogue, there has to be mutual respect.
I think it would have been better if the girl wouldn't have said, you know, well, I was just saying that I didn't really think anything. It would have been better if she was like, you know, here's why I think you suck.
Sure, sure.
It's only a tweet, so you can only put 140 characters in.
Right. Well, these people are acting like this is the first time somebody has spoken poorly of a politician.
Well, she's in high school, so how many high schoolers will actually speak out against the governor?
But it doesn't matter. I mean, why do they care so much that, you know, somebody tweeted that they didn't like him?
Apparently, they care because they can reach this girl. Like, the average person tweeting, they don't know who you are, but for whatever reason, they were able to track this girl down. They figured that she works at a high, or she lives. She goes to school at the government high school, and because the high school's under their control, they figure she's under their control, and they're going to try to exert some control. That's what bureaucrats do. They try to control you.
It's just so pathetic. I mean, people, I get bad feedback about me on this show, and it's not anything constructive. It's just like, oh, you suck. You're bringing it down.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, whatever. I guess you're jealous because I'm on this show, and you're busy just talking about it. Take that.
So, but actually, she gets better in what she has to say here after the fact. So after being told she's not respectful, there has to be mutual respect. Over the weekend, Sullivan received a huge swell of support. Her Twitter account grew from a few dozen followers to more than 3,200.
Wow.
Yeah, a little media exposure goes a long way. As of Sunday night, and she posted a quote from Gandhi. She posts, "First they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win." So, it's a pretty cool little story. 855-450-FREE. Good for her for not bending to the pressure and apologizing. Because they're saying she had to write an apology by Monday. What are they going to do to her if she doesn't?
Right. If they suspend her or anything, you know, like that's a free speech law.
Totally.
Waiting to happen.
1-855-450-FREE. Now, you could argue that there's no free speech on government school campus, but she wasn't necessarily on government school campus at this time. It was a tweet. We're coming up. Hour 2's next. Free Talk Live.
You know that cigarettes will kill you. You've been thinking about giving the e-cigarette a try? There is a healthier option. 22,000 times healthier. But listen to this offer from Vaporsmiths.com. A pack-a-day smoker will save $120 a month. So you already start being richer, feeling healthier, and smelling better. What more could you want? How about a free starter kit? Just purchase 40 cartomizers with coupon code FTL. Free shipping on orders of $60 or more. 855-2-GET-VAPOR or go to Vaporsmiths.com.
BigEdPress.com is your home for illustrated science fiction and adventure. Escape from Terra, Volume 2, continues the bold adventures of intrepid space pioneers as they find wealth, freedom, and a giant Elvis head in interplanetary space. Venus Crumb is where swashbuckle meets steampunk in this offbeat space pirate saga written by L. Neil Smith and illustrated by Scott Beezer. Both books are $14.95 each and available now at BigEdPress.com.